समुदच्यते। पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ईशावास्यमिदगुं सर्वं यत्किं च जगद्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथामागृधस्कस्य स्मिद्धनम् कुर्वन्देहकर्माणि जिजीविशेक्षतगोसमाः एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असूयानामते लोकान्धेन तमसावृताः
पश्यति
प्रभूतेषु
चात्मानन्दुगुप्सते यस्मिन् सर्वाणि भूतान्यात्मैवाभूतः तत्र कोमोः कश्योग एकत्वमनुपश्यतः
अन्धकविशङ्कविशङ्कविद्यामुपासते
ततो भूयति वते समो यौर्यव्यायाः अन्यदेवाहुर्विद्यया इति श्रीरोधीराणां ये हस्तक्षिरे विद्ययामृत्युमश्नुते अन्धं तमः प्रविशन्ति ये
सन्धुतिमुपासते
अन्यदेवाहुसम्भवान्यदाहुरसम्भवाक्षिरे सम्भूतिं च विनाशं च यत्तद्वयभूषयः श्रीनाशेन मृत्युं चेत्त्वा सम्भूत्यामृतमश्नुते हे अन्यपाद्रे सत्यं चामि दिनं मुखम् तत्त्वं सोऽपाद्रनुसत्यसर्वाय दृष्टये भो
पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। टुडे वी शल सी दी समरी ऑफ द उपनिषद ईशावास्य उपनिषद। ईशावास्य उपनिषद is a very small Upanishad. It has only about 18 mantras. So this Upanishad gives the same message what the other Upanishads also give, but it gives in its own way. First it talks about the highest philosophy of renunciation, which is the qualification for students to gain the knowledge. And then it gets on to people who cannot or who are not in that level, for them what is needed is action. Action, when they say, they talk only about Karma Yoga. So mantra 1, he gives the path of renunciation or meditation. Simple, if you want to understand this, if the thought of the world is still lingering in my mind, if I still entertain the desire and value for the world in the mind, meditation is not possible. You understand? Meditation is not possible. Or forget meditation, even gaining knowledge is not possible. Because the mind is still thinking about the world. It is not gotten out of the value for the world. So only when you understood the value of the world and you do not have the value for the world, you have the value for Brahman, that state is called state of renunciation. And that is the state for you to gain the knowledge deeply and make it your own. Till that time, you need to purify yourself. So what the Shastra says, you are Atma, you are that Brahman, but you do not know that today. You believe yourself to be this limited individual. Since you think you are this limited individual, you are sending your thoughts to the world outside to fulfill your desires and feel complete. This is what is happening. So Vedanta says, you are the Atma, you are the Self, which is infinite, but you do not know that. So you cannot achieve that Atma through action or any other means. You can only achieve that Atma through the means of gaining knowledge. There is no other way. When you gain the knowledge, you come to know that you are the Atma, ignorance is gone, you realize the thing. So it's not achieving, it is knowing. But that knowing is not being informed. There's a difference. Being informed is different from knowing. Because the moment you know, it translates into action. You can only inform, it is not necessary that it gets translated into action. But when you know it, it gets translated into action. It is wisdom. There is no difference thereafter between your living and what you know. What you know is how you live. So when you climb a mountain and if you know that you have reached the cliff, you are not going to take one more step. Because your action automatically will be reflecting the wisdom or the knowledge you have. So to gain that knowledge, you need to purify your personality. For that you need to get into action. Because you have desires. You have desires to sit down quietly doing nothing. You will be thinking about the object of the desire and you will be increasing the vasana. On the contrary, if you are going on acting but thinking about the result of the action, then also you are going to be creating vasanas. So what do you do? Can you say without action? No. If you act, can you act desire-ridden? No. So they say, act, you must, but act with the spirit of sacrifice. What is called as karma yoga. When you do that, what you are doing is, you are picking up a higher goal and then you are only thinking about the higher goal and all your actions are dedicated for the higher goal. Then, whatever comes out of that higher goal, you fulfill your desires dharmically. Thus, you are fulfilling your desires also, you are rising above your desires also. Therefore, the path, there is only one path, which is knowledge. Adi Shankara in Atma Bodha beautifully he says, you can buy the vegetables from the shop, clean them, cut them, marinate them, do everything. But finally, you have to cook it. Cooking is a direct means. All others are indirect means. So, similarly, knowledge alone is the direct means. All others are indirect means. And when we say knowledge, the other side of knowledge is renunciation. In fact, renunciation and knowledge means one and the same. Renunciation is a word everybody gets scared. Oh, I have to give up, I have to give up. No, you don't have to give up anything. You just have to grow up. So renunciation is not giving up, it is growing up. You know, but write that as an imposition. What is renunciation? Renunciation is not giving up, it is growing up. When a flower matures into a fruit, the petals of the flower automatically fall away. If you forcefully pluck the petals and throw it, it won't become a fruit. But when it matures into a fruit, the petals fall away. Similarly, a child who is stuck at the level of toy world, when the child is exposed to the cycle world, slowly, slowly when the cycle world attracts the child more and more, the toy world automatically gives up the child. The child is not given up the toy world. Child has grown out of the tower. So, that very first shloka in this Upanishad is addressed to the highest level of student. Hence, it's called the path of renunciation or meditation or simply you can call it as knowledge. What that truth is said. See, in a prepared mind, when the knowledge goes in, it gets converted into wisdom instantaneously. In an unprepared mind, when the knowledge goes in, nothing happens. On the contrary, wrong understanding may happen. Or no understanding may happen. If nothing is understood, it's okay. But wrong understanding happens, the problems. So therefore, they say, you prepare and come. Prepare and come. For a prepared mind, knowledge just gets converted into wisdom instantaneously. Like, You prepare the soil and keep it ready, and then sow the seed, it will germinate. Preparation is quite a big process. So therefore, in this Upanishad, initially it addresses the prepared students who are already in the level of renunciation. And then it says, if you are not in that level, then you do karma. Karma means karma yoga. And you drop the bulk of the desires, you drop the attachment to the world, the value for the world goes. You know the value of the world. You understand? Including this cryptocurrency, what has come now latest. After cryptocurrency, I don't know what will come next. Because human mind will come up with something or the other, keep on thinking new things. You understand? So, but you understand what it can do to you. That's all. Therefore, I am not going to run after this. This is something worldly. When that maturity comes, then whatever you learned from your guru or the shastra, or if you have not learned, if you now go and learn, it will instantaneously get converted into wisdom. That's why we say, when you listen to the class, that's only one half of your effort. The other half is going on reflecting at home along with the sadhanas you are supposed to do, including karma yoga. Then the knowledge becomes so much established in you, then nobody can shake you. No experience can shake you. No corona, no nothing can shake you. So that is the first two shlokas. The third one is for people who do not follow either karma yoga or jnana. They are not into spiritual field at all. Then what are they doing? They are pursuing the material field. Which means what? They have sacrificed the self and they have accepted the world. See, a wise person initially accepts nothing. He scrutinizes, he thinks, he analyzes. After proper discrimination, he says, this is needed, this is to be thrown. Isn't it? Even in your house, once in a while you clean your house. So what do? When you clean, you segregate, sort, isn't it? This is needed, this is not needed. This is to be given away, this is to be thrown into the bin. Clearly you sort it out. Similarly, world and Atma. Wise person chooses Atma, unwise chooses the world. And when you choose the world, it is equivalent to suicide. Because when you have the opportunity to get back to the self and attain that infinite happiness, you are going to spend tremendous energy and getting the finite and be increasing your desires and getting caught in this samsara. It is spiritual suicide. The first three verses are saying this. Then the fourth verse to eighth verse talks about the goal. What is the goal of human evolution? See, artha, kama, dharma, moksha. There are four goals the shastras talk about. Artha means material wealth. Kama means enjoyment or entertainment. And dharma is the things that will help you to gain punya, which will help you to evolve further if you want to use it to go towards knowledge. So dharma, dharma vishaya, righteousness, principles of living. To know that is one of the goals which will elevate you. Then finally, equipped with those principles, you choose the ultimate goal of moksha. So, therefore what they did in the ancient times is, initially they sent the children to the Gurukula, and there the children were taught all the dharmas by the Guru. Then, knowing those dharmas, how to live, children lived their life in Grahastha Ashrama after having grown up. Siddha Dharma that they learnt when they were children. And they acquired a lot of artha, experienced a lot of kama. But they never allowed themselves to sink with artha and kama. They rose above artha and kama. So, dharma, artha, kama. Then comes moksha. Because they understood, yeah, all this is temporary. Now, I have to seek that moksha. So, the goal of evolution, what that atma is talked about in slok, in mantras 4 to 8. Then, 9 to 14. Integral sadhana, action and meditation. Karma and upasana. Now, verse 9, 10, 11 talks about karma and upasana. Verse 12, 13, 14 talks about two different upasanas. How, when they are combined, helps for spiritual progress and gaining knowledge. How they are done with involvement, you don't rise, but you experience certain things which is also worldly. This is discussed in 9 to 14. Then 15 to 17 called as drama of realization, where the student is doing prarthana to remove the obstacles because he is interested in achieving the goal. He says there should be no obstacle when I am going towards my goal. And finally, 18th mantra, the teacher and the talk, both are praying, where they are handing over whatever little portion of, you know, earth, water, fire, air, space, they have arrogated to themselves. Now they are handing over to the totality and saying, I am only interested in the absolute merger. This is the talk flow. Now come back to mantra number one. Mantra number one. What is it? Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam Yatkinte Jagatyamcha. Isha Vasya. The Upanishad is called Isha Vasya because it starts with this. So the declaration is given in this mantra. In fact, the mantra gives four padas or four padas. What are they? First it talks about Brahman, the declaration of Brahman, or the totality, or the satyam, or reality, is given in line 1. It's given in the book, you see. Om, Isha, Vasyam, Idam, Sarva. So, initially, the declaration of what that Brahman is declared to the student. Then, what that Brahman is explained in the first line and the second line. First declaration, then explanation. Then the third line talks about the path, how to get to that Brahman. Then the fourth pada is the directional advice, a tip or some kind of an advice given to the seeker to be able to achieve that renunciation, so that the seeker is able to gain the knowledge or digest that concept that teacher is teaching. So that is given in line 4. It says, O Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam. So you take Om Idam Sarvam. Om means Brahman. Om is the designation of Brahman. Why Om is the designation of Brahman? Om is not a word, it's a sound. Sound. Sound is taken to represent the Brahman. And Om encompasses the entire range of sound. A-O-M. You fully open your mouth, you say A. And half closed, O. And fully closed, M. The entire range of sound is captured in A, U, N. Now, when a human being lives his life, a human being goes through three states of consciousness. Waking, dream, deep sleep. Beyond these three states of consciousness is a real pure consciousness, which is Atma. Now, a human being is made up of the causal body called the vasanas, and the subtle body called the mind and intellect, and the gross body called the physical body. Okay. When the pure consciousness functions through the vasana alone, that state is called what? Deep sleep state. When you are in deep sleep, this gross body is not there for you. And you are not even having dreams. The thoughts are not there. Therefore, the gross body is not there, subtle body is not there. But what is there? Vasanas are there. Correct? Sadhana goes to deep sleep. When she is going to deep sleep, what is she going to deep sleep as? As somebody who is doing business, a businesswoman. And next day morning when she wakes up, she will not wake up as a dancer. She will not wake up as a tennis player. She will wake up as a businesswoman only. So what does it mean? Throughout the deep sleep, vasanas were continuing. Vasanas are nothing but the unmanifest thought or desire. So therefore, when she woke up, they manifested again. That's all. So therefore, what is deep sleep? Pure consciousness plus vasanas is deep sleep. Then, what is dream state? In dream state, thoughts are there, but you are not conscious of your body. So, gross body nahi hai, subtle body hai. And whenever subtle body is there, underneath, obviously, vasanas must be there. Because only from vasanas, thoughts come. So, therefore, pure consciousness plus vasanas plus subtle body is dream state. Now come to waking state. Now you are conscious of this body. You function through this body. So the waking state is pure consciousness plus vasanas plus subtle body plus gross body. So fully blossomed state, you can say. Manifested state. So the waking state is a fully manifested state. So what do you say? When you open your mouth fully and say, that is taken to represent the waking state. Then when you say, with your half mouth closed and little bit open, that state is taken to be dream state, because it's, you can't say thoughts are fully manifested and in the gross form, nor can you say it's in deep sleep state. So, represents dream state. Then, you say with your mouth closed. That state is called deep sleep state, or that represents deep sleep state. So, represents waking, dream, deep sleep states. Now, the interesting thing is, are sounds. Sound emanates from silence, exists in silence, dissolves in silence. So, when the sound is there also, silence is there. And after the sound is gone, you experience the sound fully. So similarly, the pure consciousness is there before the sound came, there during the sound, after the sound. So there is matra, amatra, sound and silence. So om means om and the silence put together represents the pure consciousness which pervades the waking, dream and deep sleep states and also exists beyond them. That is what Om means. So therefore we say Om is taken to be the designation of Brahma. So when it says Om Sarvam Idam, Om Sarvam Idam means all this. All this means anything that you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, feel, think, or you can even conceive anything, all this world. Om Sarvam Idam means what? The pure consciousness or Brahman is what all this is. And then he says, Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat. So what is saying here? this is nothing but the name and form, the world. This world is nothing but name and form, but in effect it is pure consciousness. So pure consciousness is the cause and the world is the effect. So therefore he says, Isha Vasyam. This entire universe is covered by Isha. Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat. So Jagat means the changing phenomenon. This changing phenomenon called the world or samsara is actually pervaded by Isha. Now, this is the thing. If the world is pervaded by Isha, am I seeing Isha there? I'm not seeing Isha. I'm seeing the name and form. So what Vedanta says is, now you can say, yaar, all this bhakwas. Udhar koi nahi. They're simply blabbering. These fellows are blabbering. Or the other thing is, no. Udhar kuch hai. But may I can't see that right now because my equipments are not the right equipments to see that. I need to satellite myself. When I satellite myself, I can see. Like the milk is there. It's pervaded by butter, but I can't see. I go through the process of boiling it, all that, whatever you have to do to get the butter out of it, then I can get the butter out of it. But when I see the milk, I can't see the butter. So similarly, it says, this is all Brahman. It's pervaded by Brahman. This changing phenomenon world is essentially nothing but Brahman. This is only Nama Rupa. It's essentially Brahman. Right? So, the material with which this world is made up of is Brahman. Like, the clay is the material with which all the pots are made. So, you are only seeing the name and form, you are not seeing the clay. So, he says, all this is pervaded by Isha. Now, how to see that? He says, Tena Tyaktena Bunchita. The thing. This line you don't forget. Tena Tyaktena Bunchita. Means what? May you enjoy through renunciation. So, what Vedanta says is, to enjoy this world, you need to renounce this world. To enjoy your children, your married life with your spouse, your business to which you are married today, to enjoy anything in this world, you need to renounce. If you want to enjoy the chocolate that you are eating, you need to renounce the craving for the chocolate. If you have the craving and the mind is running after the chocolate, 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 chocolate like that, when you are tasting the chocolate, you won't resist it. But when your mind has risen above the craving, when you eat the chocolate, you 100% resist it. So therefore in Vedanta we say, a yogi really is a bogi. But a bogi never is really a bogi. He seems to be eating more quantity, but he really doesn't enjoy it. So the one who enjoys is the one who has renunciation. You are beautiful, you have built a beautiful house. I know somebody, I don't want to take the name. Everything white in the house. Everything white. White marble, white this, white. They maintain it well, it's very nice. White means very difficult to maintain, but they maintain it very well. But if you go to their house, you will be in constant tension. And my case, not much of tension because they deal with me a little differently because I am their teacher. Otherwise, everybody else is in tension because if you touch this, it will become black. So you don't know what to do. And they also like, you know, as soon as you go, you remove the shoe outside and they'll give you a separate chappal, separate socks. everything like that. So you can't really enjoy anything. You're so tensed, you know. You have a carpet, you're scared because you may spill coffee in it because you're attached. But in case you're not having that attachment, you enjoy. This happens when you go to the hotel room. You check in, beautiful carpet, no problem. Aramse, you will drink the coffee. Home, drinking coffee is not that enjoyable. Why? If I spill the coffee on the carpet, what will happen? Very expensive to get it clean. So, if you really want to enjoy, you need to renounce. And you, renunciation, I already explained. Renunciation means knowing its true value. What is the true value? Before I came into this world, after I leave, this is no use. Absolutely no use. When I'm here, it's useful. That's for transactional purpose. Not for any other reason. So, when I'm in India, Indian rupees is having some value. But when I go to America, it's of no use. When I go to London, it's of no use. Similarly, these are all only transactional purpose. Beyond that, it has no value. When I understand that, then I'll be detached, then I'll enjoy the world. Otherwise, I'll not enjoy the world. This is all he's saying. Tena chaktena bujita. By knowing about its changing aspect, that they are temporary, passing, fleeting, you renounce. Means what? Rise above the value for the world. Having understood the value of the world, rise above it and don't have value for the world. How to do that? The practical tip he gives. Magrida kasya svidhanam. You take this as an advice. What? You put in effort. Do it as a dedication to the Lord or to the goal. And whatever you earn from your effort, you enjoy. You follow this. But if you crave for somebody else's wealth, this craving is only going to increase your desires. You are not going to be feeling enough at any given point in time. Even if you have 10 million crores, you will still not be contented. Therefore, he says, Magrida kasya svidhanam. Do not covet another's wealth. Do not covet another's wealth means whatever wealth is needed for your survival. You work. You earn that. With that, you live your life. There's nothing wrong in that. But that's the right thing to do. So you work. Whatever comes, satisfy. But shift your thoughts towards the Lord. This is the way to live. There's also another meaning for this interpretation. Magrida kasya svidhanam. Meaning, when you understand that all this is nothing but Isha, whose is the wealth? Huh? If my neighbor bought a car, or if he has got some promotion and he's got more salary, so that he has more bank balance, what does it mean? It means, it's like one big kurta, which has too many pockets. And in one pocket there is 100 rupees, in another pocket there is 10,000 rupees. Both are same kurta only. So for whose is the wealth? The wealth is only belonging to the Atma. See, when this world is covered by Brahman, wealth is what? Another form of Atma only. Another form of Brahman only. So why should I covet wealth? So with this understanding, when I live satisfying myself with my work, my mind becomes detached over a period of time, then I can gain the knowledge. So, therefore, he says, if you haven't established yourself in this renunciation, then in the next mantra he says, Go adu karma yoga, purvan neveha karmani, viji vishe, chatahum samaha. That mantra, verse number 2. He says, performing actions alone here, means in this world, one should wish to live 100 years. 100 years means as long as you live. Just merely doing what you ought to do as a karma yoga. Thus, there is none other than this for you. Action does not stain man. So, when you do karma yoga, what happens is, you drop the desire. I explained this to you with that example. What is that? Then we did the third chapter. I don't know if you still remember. Mantra 7, third chapter, we did 6 and 7. There I explained, I gave this example of during Janmashtami or Vinayaka Chaturthi, Ganesha Chaturthi. What do? We make all the stuff that Ganesha likes. Whether Ganesha really likes or not, we created the story. And then Ganesha likes all the modak, kirak and all that. So we prepare all the modaks and everything. Incidentally, we may also like it. It's a different matter. But the bhav is there, Ganeshi. This is for Ganeshi. So what do? Get up early in the morning, shower, and then Vyas is prepare the modak. While preparing the modak, the aroma and all that is being felt by the person who is preparing. Then he is offering it to the Lord, keeping it in the puja room, doing all the puja. While doing all the puja also, you are seeing the modak. The smell is there, everything is there. But the thought is, Ganesha, Ganesha, Ganesha. That's all. Nothing else. And once the puja is over, you take the modak as a prasad and you taste it. So, the same way, you are going through your life, but you are constantly thinking of the goal. It's called Karma Yoga. You pitch up a goal, think of the goal, and do whatever you have to do towards that goal. You're not thinking about what I will get out of it. Will I get increment? Will I get salary? Will I get appreciation? Will I be sent to another branch as a head? Nothing. You don't worry about all that. So then you won't develop vasanas. If you're going on thinking about the results, you develop vasanas. So the way to do it is this way. It's called Karma Yoga. It's nothing but arpana bhav and prasada bhav. Now when we do this, then you drop the bulk of your desires and then you come to the level of renunciation. You gain the knowledge, realize the self. If you are not doing these two, you are indulging in life. Indulgent fellows, what happens? Committing suicide. He not only doesn't get to the self, he will not enjoy this world also. See, even to enjoy the world, you need detachment and regulation. Indulgence will take you nowhere. This is the thing. Very, very important. That's why in our culture, in our tradition, we have this already built in, you know. So they'll say first 15 days and second 15 days. Amavasya, Purnima. Then slowly they'll have Monday you do this, Tuesday you do this, Wednesday, Thursday you can do this, Friday you can do this. Like that they have some kind of a rules. So automatically regulation comes. Even people who eat non-veg and all, if you see, especially Vaishnavites, I know, they don't eat on Saturdays. They say, no, Bhagavan, Ishwar, I mean, Lord's day today, Vishnu's day, Saturday, we are not eating. And then Thursday, Guru, for Guru we don't eat. And something like that, 2-3 days, regulation automatically, you know. So it's a regulated renunciation, developing lifestyle. The other is indulging. Asurya, asuhu. Asu means breath. Understand? They are only interested to somehow live and enjoy life. What it says, asurya namate loka andena tamasabhuta. Those fellows who are only, but then kao kyo maja karo, live for more days, enjoy this life. They don't know anything else. And those fellows actually don't enjoy us. They'll be constantly worried about their death. This is a life of suicide. Then 4, 5, 6, 7 and 8. It is the goal of evolution. What that goal is. He talks about it in pairs of opposites. You know, first he says far, it's near. All that. Far near because Brahman is everywhere and Brahman is everywhere. It is far also, it's near also. And also for a person who is extroverted, for him it's far. For a person who is introverted, for him it's near. So, it depends what your mind is. If it's extroverted, it's far for you. If it's introverted, it's near for you. So, like that, lot of pointers they give. See, these pointers are not definitions of Brahman. All these pointers are indicators of Brahman. Because Brahman is beyond your intellect. It cannot be defined. It is aprameya. You cannot define it. So, It can be pointed. Like I told you, the match, they'll give you a distance between A and B, 7 centimeters. Then from A, B is 6 centimeters. And then from B, C is 5 centimeters. So what do? You take a compass, take 6 centimeters, draw an arc from A. You take the compass, measure 5 centimeters, draw an arc from B. The meeting point is C, then you complete the triangle. So the arcs, when there they meet, get some idea as to what they've done. And also the beauty is here, by studying these pointers, you are keeping your mind always in the higher. You're not dwelling in the worldly thoughts. You know, how much they made, who is number one now, who was number one before, you know, Bezos was there, no, Bezos is not there now, some other fellow has come. Now, when is this fellow going to come there? When is this fellow going to go to jail? All this nonsense you are not constantly discussing. You are constantly thinking about the higher. So thus, you are dwelling upon this and your mind is elevated to that height. And you don't, you know, all the worldly things you drop and then you move towards the self. And as you do that, you start seeing the self everywhere. Your heart expands. You accommodate everybody. As you realize the self, you then also simultaneously understand that this entire universe is nothing but Brahman, the big Vasudeva Kutumba. You identify with everybody, you are not against anybody. That self is neither born nor is dies. Nothing stains that self, and that is you. So therefore nothing stains you. You are imagining this stainless, come on me. There is no stain, nothing. You, if you gain the knowledge, you will drop your identification with this body and name. This body and name for transaction purpose. Okay, from today you will be called as X. From today you will be called as Y. That fellow will be called as Z. So when they discuss among themselves, X, Y, Z, what do you have to say? They'll discuss among themselves. But X and Y and Z is not their real personality. They are something else. X, Y, Z is only the name for transactional purposes. So once I understand this, nothing can stain me. Today, after every action, there's something or the other I'm getting and being so much stress. Once you understand this knowledge, you become pure, untainted by either pap nor punya, nothing for you. You will understand all that. So, to get to that, as I told you, knowledge is the means. But to get to knowledge, karma and upasana. What is that? So, it's steps. Direct step to realization is knowledge. And for knowledge, karma and upasana. See, we have a physical body, organ of speech and mind. So, anything we do with body is called kayika karma. Anything we do with the organ of speech is called Vachika Karma. Do it with mind, it's called Manasa. The moment Manasa comes, we say Upasana. Now, Karma means what you do with body and organ of speech. So when you do this Yajna, the rituals and all that, they are called Karmas. And Upasana is Manasa Vyapara. When you conceive of the Brahman in a form, not everybody can conceive the Brahman in the formless. Formless is very difficult to conceive, especially for people who are attached to the body. So therefore, you conceive the Brahman in a form. So it's called Saguna Ishwara Jnanam. Saguna Ishwara means God with attributes. Now, when you initially you conceive of the God, you may have desires, and then you do all the mental jnanam on that Ishwara to fulfill certain desires. It's called what? Saguna Ishwara jnanam with sakama bhakti, with the desires. Then slowly, slowly you move to what? Saguna Ishwara jnanam nishkama bhakti. Then comes what? Nirguna Ishwara jnanam nishkama bhakti. That is jnana. Okay. So now, when we do karma, we should do it as karma yoga. When we do upasana, we should do it as upasana yoga, which means what? for the purpose of cleansing ourselves and realizing the self. So when we do karma and upasana, we get a lot of chitta shuddhi, chitta vishalataha, chitta ekagrataha. This is the idea. But if you do karma for some desire fulfilling, the fact that you are doing your duty, every action will give you the phalam that can be seen, the phalam that cannot be seen. Called drishta phalam, adrishta phalam. Drishta phalam is your efforts will fetch you the results. Adrishta phalam is, you know, for example, now I am doing my duty of conducting these classes for which I need to prepare, I need to do a lot of things associated. So over a period of time, there are lot of adrishta phalam that comes to me. I can't see them now. But when it comes, it's not, I think it's luck, it's not luck. You know. So the goodwill, it comes. I should not be interested in reaping them, but it does come. So similarly, every action has drishta phalam and adrishta phalam. So if you do just what you call karma, but not as yoga, maximum you will get some punyas and maximum you will go up to Pitruloka, Devaloka and come back. But if you do upasana, but again not as yoga, you get punya which can take you to maximum Brahmaloka and you will come back. So therefore, what is the point doing all this and coming back? The idea is what? Do this, attain Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Vishalataha and Chitta Ekagrataha. My mind should become single pointed towards Brahman and my heart should have expanded so that I include everybody as one family. So that the small bickerings are not there. You know, that kind of a purity. So for that I need to use this karma and upasana. So this is what he is saying from 9 to 14. People do karma, they get involved. Somebody does upasana, they get involved. Each one gives different palam, but if they do it combined, they'll get what? They'll get chitta shuddhi and get qualified to be in the self. But not knowing majority of the fellows, they are all using it for going and coming business. Maximum they get punya, they do it, get punya, come back. That's all. All they're doing. So therefore he says, for sadhana chatushraya sampatti, you have to do all this. What is that? Viveka, discrimination. What is permanent? What is impermanent? Then developing vairagya towards what is impermanent. Then having mumukshatva to gain that permanent. Ardent desire to gain the permanent. And certain other qualities which will help you to develop that mumukshatva. Called shama, dhamma, uparama, shraddha, diksha, samadhanam. All these are sixfold qualifications under fourfold qualifications. All these are called sadhana chatushtaya sampanna. That you develop. With that, you gain the knowledge and you realize the self. Therefore, karma and upasana should be done samuchaya for chitta shuddhi, chitta ekagrata and chitta vishalataha. That's all he's saying. Then, through the knowledge, you realize the self. Now, if a person did karma and upasana with chitta shuddhi, he comes to knowledge and through knowledge he comes to meditation and realizes the self, is called jivan mukta. Okay, which means while living in this body, he is liberated. Such a person thereafter lives only exhausting the prarabdha vasana. Because when you realize the self, the prarabdha vasana is there. All other vasanas are gone. All the vasanas are those vasanas that propelled you to this birth. They'll only get exhausted through experience. So no problem. The prarabdha vasanas continue. Like you switch off the fan still rotates because of the initial momentum. Like that, you continue. If the prarabdha vasana is singing, they just keep on singing. Prarabdha vasana is, giving lecture, they give lecture. If it is to do business, they do business. Whatever it is. So self-realized souls can be doing many things. Not necessarily all self-realized souls will be, only giving lectures or doing bhajans and things like that. They can even be big businessmen. Doesn't matter. So they can do anything. So prarabdha continues. Then the prarabdha also perishes. Then the merger becomes complete. It's called videha mukti. It's called jivan mukti. Now by chance, somebody does karma and upasana, but haven't come to knowledge and realize the self. What happens is they go to Brahmalok. And in Brahmalok, they gain the knowledge and liberate from there. It's called Krama Mukti. You gain the knowledge and realize here, it's called Kaivalya Mukti. But you go to Brahmalok and gain the liberation, it's called Krama Mukti. Mukti in stages. This is direct liberation. Upanishad wants to say direct liberation. Some people do not get direct liberation, they go to Brahmalok and realize. But majority what happens is, they only are going maximum to heaven, come back. Majority. So this is what the Shastra teaches. How you can benefit while living here. You can enjoy here also, you can also get higher enjoyment. Maximum enjoyment you can get is by knowing yourself. Before you should aspire for that. Not for something lower. That's what it is. No. When the child is growing up, parents want the child to study well so that the child can really go up, you know, in life. If the child doesn't study properly and all, maximum what he'll do? He'll do some labor job, some watchman, something. It's not that it's low, but it's lost. The struggle and all that is there. You have to go through that. Similarly, when you understand some of these things in Shastras, then you aspire to go to that higher level. So therefore, in 15, 16 and 17, it's called Brahma of Realization because Sun God is taken to be the symbol of the Brahman. And they are doing prayer to Brahman saying, remove that obstacle. I have prepared myself following all the sadhanas. I should go and liberate myself and experience that. So this is the essence. Saying, remove all the obstacles. Now you may wonder what obstacle can be there. Many obstacles can be there. Especially, to point out one big obstacle is that obsession to realize itself can become an obstacle. Last thought to liberate itself can become an obstacle. You just leave it and say, when it happens, happens. So, they are saying, I don't want any obstacle, I must realize the self. So, these verses, as I told you, can be interpreted as somebody who is going to Brahman in this Janma praying. Other is somebody who is going through Brahmalok, he is praying. So he is praying, saying, the path up to Brahmalok, you clear it, so I can go to Brahmalok and gain liberation. The other person is not talking about the path up to Brahmalok, he's talking about direct liberation. But either way you interpret, it's the same thing. 15, 16. And in 17 and 18, if you see, what is he doing? He says, now this breath, he returned to immortal air. This body be reduced to ashes. Om Krato Smara Kratagum Smara Krato Smara Kratagum Smara. Verse number 17. See, this body is what? Nothing but five elements. Earth, water, fire, air, space. What is this universe? Same five elements. Earth, water, fire, air, space. So from the total, little bit, you know, has come as if something separate. That separateness is in our head. Actually, it is not separate. Like you see children, you know, on the beach side, they'll be making a nice temple with the sand there. So, a huge, vast expanse of sand is there. Little portion of sand, they made a nice temple or a house. Like that, little portion of earth, water, fire, air, space is irrigated. Now he's saying, give it back. Give it back totally. Why should I irrigate it to myself and create this individuality? Hand over. Handing over process is going on. This is a mind, krato smara kratagum smara. The last stage when the person is about to die, what you think, you go there. If you're thinking of Brahman, you attain Brahman. If you're thinking of world, you go to that. And when I'm going to conclude my class, what is the last thought? That will be your next experience. If it's going to, I don't know if the Delhi markets are open. If it's market and if it's all open and you're thinking about Khan market, you'll be there next. If you are thinking about something else, you'll be there. So, last thought should be of Brahman. You get back to Brahman. If it's of some other thing, you get back to that. Therefore, he says, Umai Kratosmara Kratagumsmara. Think of that, Brahman, what you studied in the Upanishad. If it is the prayer of the Upasaka, he's saying, Umai, think of that Loka, Brahma Loka, for all you did. You know? Then you proceed. So, basically, as you think, so shall you become. Therefore, the sadhak is saying, let me think of the Brahman and get back to the Brahman only and not attached to my body, my mind, nothing. All just little bit portion you are getting to yourself. Then in the end he says, oh fire god, see for everything we do, fire god is a sakshi. So fire god knows about us full, totally knows. My friend, my mother, my father, my children, my spouse may not know. But fire god knows everything. He says, oh fire god, lord of knowing all deeds, you know all my deeds. Now I'm old. You should lead me, he says. Lead us by the good path to wealth. Wealth means they are talking about supreme wealth, spiritual wealth. They are not talking about material, mundane wealth. Remove from us this crooked sin. By chance I did knowingly or unknowingly I did something. Now I am saying, sorry, remove that. Then he is saying, we offer thee many words of salutation. Because at the time of death, the person doesn't have the physical power to do salutation, get up and prostrate. So he is saying, my word itself, I am saying, namaskar to you. Please accept my namaskar. Remove all my sin. Give me self-realization. It's a prayer. When you do prayer, prayer is a technique to plant the thought in your subconscious. Remember this. Prayer is not a beggary. Today what has happened is everybody is going and begging. Oh God, give me this, give me that. And then they think that God will give everything. What it does is, if you are doing the prayer correctly, you are planting the thought in your subconscious. Once the thought is planted in the subconscious will make the conscious function and to achieve it. This is the thing. What you need to understand. In your subconscious, you want to go and meet your son studying abroad. He went 3 years ago, he is in US. Or 4 years ago, now his graduation is coming. And after graduation, he said he'll come back with you. And he wanted you to be there and you also want to be there during his graduation ceremony. A proud moment for you and your son. So, you booked the tickets. You can't wait. The flight is at 4 o'clock. You have to be there at 1 o'clock. You just want to take rest for 2-3 hours. Get ready and go. So, you slept by 9 o'clock. 12 o'clock, you want to get up, get ready and leave to the airport to be there at 1. You kept alarm. You wake up at 12, but you wake up at 11:30. So the subconscious will push you to do things. So when you do prayer, it's an ingenious way of planting the thought in your subconscious. This is what he's saying. When that goes in, it makes you do things and achieve. So prayer doesn't mean, somebody will come and give. Also what it means is, when you deeply have a desire which is not selfish, the outside also you will see will do its bit to get that thing fulfilled. So therefore he has no selfish desire. Only desire is to attain that supreme wealth. That's what he says. Anmenaya supata raya asman vishwani deva vayunani vidwan. Raya means wealth. That spiritual wealth only I want. I don't want anything else. So he says, remove this crooked sin, all this unnecessary sin that I developed in between. Oh God, I pray to you, remove all the sins we offer many salutation, words of salutation. The last mantra is that the Isavachya Upanishad is over. This is a summary of Isavachya Upanishad. So we'll conclude the class now. And next week, as I said, we will start studying Vishnu Sahasranama. Okay. The thousand names of Lord Vishnu. That we will start next week.
Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmanava Prakrute Svabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami.
Hari Om.